Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, GSTB 826, www.radioislam.org.za, and simulcast on CRSFM 105.7. Finally, the school holidays, yuppie! Or maybe for some parents, they're probably rolling their eyes and they're thinking, oh no, one whole week, what do I do? But anyway, when it comes to children being at home and constantly nagging and irritating each other, I mean, common, it does happen among siblings. But what happens when the fighting continues all the time? Holidays is not a very pleasant time for the parents during that time. This morning, we're going to be having a panel discussion, and we're going to be talking about sibling rivalry. Now, when you think about sibling rivalry, we wonder, okay, you are brothers and sisters, or just sisters, or just brothers. You are supposed to love each other. You're supposed to be getting along all the time. That's how it's supposed to be. It's natural to have disagreements. It's natural to sometimes have a little bit of envy towards your sibling. You're human. It's natural. But what happens when that envy and that hatred and that bullying and taunting goes on constantly? Then we have a serious problem. And if it is not nipped in the bud as soon as it is detected, it can carry on right up until adulthood, which is very, very, very dangerous. The moment there is any sort of sibling rivalry, remember, it causes tension amongst the entire family, and the issues just escalate if it is not nipped in the bud. So with me in studio today, I have sisters Rehana Adam, who is an executive member of Islamic Helpline, MAF, and she's also a senior counselor at Islamic Helpline. Sister Nabila Mahdi, who is a youth counselor and popular, well-known educational psychologist from Indonesia, Mr. Gavin Frank. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam and jazakallah for having us.
Nabila, okay. Gavin, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Good morning, Bibi Aisha, and good morning to all your listeners.
Okay, Gavin.
And to the panel, to Nabila and to Rihanna, I think it is. Eh?
Yes, it's a pleasure having you with us. You know, we always look forward to getting more information and getting educated and empowered by you. Gavin, please define sibling rivalry.
Sibling rivalry is it's jealousy, it's envy, it's it happens, like you mentioned, to some extent. It's normal. Children compete. You know, each one wants attention, each one wants to be the best. But in some cases, it can get out of hand. And so there's a number of situations in which it actually does get quite out of hand. For a starting point, right, in families or dysfunctional families, it becomes the order of the day. You know, and now, unfortunately, like there are families, you know, where drugs or alcohol might be a problem, or simply the parents don't get on, there's violence in the family. And so there's no structure, so children tend to learn from their parents, and so it's a fight for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be a lot of tension from the parents that, you know, that rubs off onto the children. Then it's also the old thing about understanding their place in the family. You know, children are of different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And you always hear the smaller one complaining, oh, the big one has more advantage, how come she has more, you treat her better, you allow her more freedom, that kind of thing. But children need to understand that at different ages, they're entitled to different things.
Yes.
Sometimes the older child will complain that you're giving too much attention to the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, they need to understand that a smaller child would need more attention than someone older who can manage on their own.
Now see, Kevin, we're talking about attention right now, right? But other factors that can cause sibling rivalry could be competition, gender. You know, sometimes they always say, you know, daddies are very fond of their daughters and mums are very fond of their sons. And then again, also age, you know, when there's a big age gap between siblings. Also, you know, sometimes disability or sickness, if one child may be having challenges with their health and the focus is always on that child, the other children can tend to, I won't say dislike, but there's going to be some negativity between them and this child who is getting all the attention all the time.
No, definitely it takes place here. And I mean, there's a number of situations that you've mentioned a few already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes just having different personalities and temperaments, children don't get on with each other. Sometimes they just need space. And, you know, they come home stressed or frustrated. And sometimes it's safe to just fight with your siblings than to fight with someone out there.
That's very true. Rihanna, you know, we often think that, you know, when a child complains he's being bullied, and we'll think, okay, maybe it's somebody at school or madrasa or in their transport. And very rarely, maybe as educators or as a family, will you say or even think, are you being bullied by your sibling? I mean, you get younger children that also taunt the older children, and vice versa. It's not always the big one bullying the younger one.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You're absolutely right, Vidyasha. I would just like to start by, maybe we should just define the word sibling, just to make it clear. The term sibling refers to children who are related and living in the same household. All right? So, you could even extend that to say children that are living in a home that are adopted and things like that, they also still become siblings. Now, somehow the word sibling has always been followed by the word rivalry. Somehow. I mean,
we need to break that.
Yes,
now.
And that started from, like, basically when, you know, from the very first fight between Adam alayhi salam's siblings over jealousy. From Cain and Abel, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's a very old thing. It's been there forever. But it's what we do about it. And as you were explaining just now, it's not just from the outside where children get bullied. The teasing, the taunting starts at home. And many times the little one knows exactly how to play everyone in the household.
That can be, or you can get the one that has the gift of the gab, that knows, you know, how to manipulate the situation to their advantage. Kevin, I was just going to ask you again, you know, when we're talking now about, you know, sibling rivalry has been there since the beginning of time. But the thing is that the way we deal with it and handle it, you know, as parents, unfortunately, they're always going to be tied in between. You know, they constantly the referee.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like what Rihanna mentioned, you know, it's important that we remember how this is an age-old problem.
Yes.
You know, and it carries on even the time, you know, I mean, of Joseph and his jacket his father made. And he solved it in a good way by forgiving his brothers and twins.
Yes.
Now, with a lot of siblings, they don't solve it the best way possible. And parents need to be cautious that they don't take sides. In many cases, parents are part of the problem.
But we're going to get to that after our break, because there's so much to discuss on that level.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get into that part definitely after the break. Nabila, you are a youth counselor at Islamic Helpline. And based on your interaction with the youth, when it comes to sibling rivalry in the teenage years and the long-term effects of sibling rivalry, what have you discovered?
I think from my side what I picked up is that the competition is always very rife, and I think as individuals within the family, as parents and as individuals, we need to celebrate our uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop the cattish nature of our, that we have, and we need to understand who we are as individuals. Like Gavin said, our temperaments, our personalities, everyone has their own. Everyone has their own physical stature, their own emotions. Some children cry more, some children scream more, some children are more emotional, whereas other children are more intellectual. So it's all about how we understand and appreciate our uniqueness.
That being said, but remember, we're talking about children where maybe there's a three-year-old, and maybe there's a nine-year-old. You know, this nine-year-old is still discovering his or herself. So it can be very difficult to do at that point in time. Rihanna, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely, yes, it can be difficult. And as I say, the little ones know how to manipulate. The nine-year-old is between being, you know, turning into an adult and child still.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you'll hear a parent saying, you are the role model to the three-year-old. And that you have to be in a certain way, otherwise the little one's going to learn the wrong things.
True.
But that is very, very bad thing to do to your nine-year-old, because you're putting undue pressure on this child.
And often also you'll get parents that say, just give it to her, she's your baby sister.
Yes.
She doesn't understand. Yes.
So you as a parent, that is why, as Gavin said, we could open this can of worms after the break. And the parents, how do you handle the situation?
Okay.
Without causing untold damage. Because let me tell you, as a senior counselor, I see lots of people coming in with issues where they had like the sibling rivalry that goes on so far into adulthood that you find as adults, they're not talking to each other. Brothers and sisters are not talking to each other because of something happened in childhood.
That's very true.
It was never resolved.
It's very true. You know, we're going back to the teenage, you know, the effects long term. If the person's personality is such way, maybe you're an introvert, and you're getting bullied and taunted by maybe an older sibling or a younger sibling, and now I mean, we need to face reality. There are blended families, again, you know, with divorced parents remarry, and then there's children coming in, or maybe sometimes one child stays with one parent, another child stays with another parent. Again, with polygamy, if people you know, get married again, and if other children is being introduced, so it's all these siblings, because at the end of the day they are going to be siblings. So there's so many issues to deal with. And with teenagers, sometimes when you're not getting that peace and sort of solace at home, what happens?
Their self-esteem is damaged. And that's what we're finding most. I'm sure Nabila will tell you about that, that if you don't nurture your child's self-esteem from a very young age, the child's going to grow up feeling that I'm not loved. How often you hear a child telling the parents, you are so unfair, you love my baby sister or brother or whatever, even older, more than me. The child is feeling like that. Do not ignore that.
Most definitely. Kevin, when it comes to teenagers again, you know, when, I mean, home is your place of love, of solace, your safety net. And if you feel that you're not getting that love or that attention, resorting to vices, you know, being a victim of peer pressure, have you been dealing with that?
That happens often. But one also has to be a little cautious there, because sometimes, you know, teenagers, it's a whole thing about survival,
yes,
and getting their own way. And sometimes they can manipulate the situation as well. I mean, there is a situation where parents may not give them the right support and that they need during those difficult times. But it's also a time where they realize that, you know, from the early age where the parents and the teachers were like, say, gods. And now they reach an age where, you know, suddenly they realize, no, they have the power. And they can manipulate situations to suit themselves.
Most definitely. Yeah. I want to ask you something about the Lat Lamarki syndrome. You know, a sibling coming into the home after many, many years. The older children are sort of set in their ways. Parents are sort of set in their routine. And then this little babaki comes home. You know, what are your thoughts on that when it comes to sibling rivalry?
Yeah, well, look, there are problems that come up, right? Sometimes they, you know, especially with the older children, when it's such a, you know, the age gap is so great, they tend to spoil the child. Everyone in the family gives the child their own way and allows them a lot of freedom. But that's why it's so important, even with these, the young ones, that, I mean, the last Lamar kids that come, that there is a structure within the family where they understand very clearly the expectations, the responsibilities, consequences, and the rules. You know, they need to be clear that how they expect it to behave all the time, and what are the expectations, what are the responsibilities. But it's lovely having a child after so many years.
Of course, yeah. I'm sure, yeah. Definitely. Nabila wants to just add on.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
I think more than the Lat Lamarki syndrome, I think we have a lot of children who struggle with the middle child syndrome.
Yes.
Those are the children who feel like they don't belong anywhere. They feel like they don't have an identity because they always compared to their older sibling, where they always expected to behave and conform to the norms of the elder sibling, whereas they also forced to give in to the demands of the younger sibling. So I think the middle child syndrome is a big one that we need to be on a watch for, because the middle children are always, they always come in with a lot of anger and resentment towards the other siblings.
Well, definitely. And then also I would think older siblings, we have many younger siblings, and are expected to help take care of them, which is also very unfair, because you yourself, you're just a child. Those kids are, you're not their parent. What do you think about that, Kevin, Rihanna?
Yeah, no, in fact, like, as you can hear, there's a whole lot of issues involved. And the birth order does play a big role, like Nabila said. And sometimes it's a thing where the one child has been around, the only child, for a while. And then a new sibling comes along. And so the attention and the space and everything else has to be shared. And if it's not handled properly, the older child starts developing a lot of resentment to the newly you know, the child is born afterwards.
Mm.
So it and, you know, so it comes about, and sometimes a smaller child gets spoiled much more.
Which is true. You know, I just have to share something. You know, very, very close friend of mine, you know, her kids are quite big now, but I remember, you know, she had a son. A son was her firstborn. You know, obviously he was a gorgeous child. They loved him to bits. And after about 4 or 5 years, she had a little daughter. But what they did is when they prepared the brother, you know, for this new sibling, the day the sister was born, what she did was she had her baby in her hand, and, you know, her husband was sitting with them, and she told her son that this is now your sister, and this is the gift that she's brought for you. This brother was so overwhelmed that this, you know, he was helping his parents obviously get the clothing and everything ready for the child, and his mom held this little gift, and she says, your little sister brought this present for you. This child just instantly took to her. I mean, he was very young to understand that obviously that's not possible, but he just felt that, you know, she's already sort of entered the world with this open mind that I want to be your friend, and here's a present from you. So just a thought, just an idea, it worked well for her.
Yeah, no, sure. And like Nabila said, that middle child, they're the ones that tend to get, you know, pushed one side, while all the attention to the eldest or the youngest. And it can develop into a problem situation later on in life.
Definitely. Okay, also the other thing I want to discuss is, right, Rehana, you know, when we're saying, obviously, we all are born with talents. We're all unique. Allah has made us all special. Almighty has made us all with unique gifts and talents. But you may have a child in the home who is gifted.
Yes.
It could be academic, it could be, you know, sport inclined, it could be in crafts, in whatever ability. And the other children are performing okay, they're doing well, they're nurturing their talents as well. But all the focus is on this one, because this one is getting all the accolades, all the recognition.
Yes.
There's going to be a bit of envy there.
Shadow children.
Yes.
Those that are living in the shadow of the gifted child.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be minimized, sort of. And they feel minimized. And they feel like, you know, every time there's an awards evening, this gifted child comes home with multiple awards, and I'm just barely managing to get through. So it's very difficult for those children who are not gifted in that way to feel as special as a child who's gifted. That is very important for the parent there, to make that child who's not gifted in that academic way to understand that you have gifts in other ways. You are special in these ways, and this is what I see in you. A very important exercise is to, if you're not sure about your child's self-esteem, test it. Take a mirror, put it in front of your child's face, and say, who do you see?
Mm.
What do you see?
Listen to those words and they describe them.
And then you can test what your child's self-esteem is like. And if it's only a child saying all the things that are wrong with the image in the mirror, then you correct that. And you tell the child how special the child is. Remember, what's happening here is children have to share what they really don't want to share. The love of their parents.
And obviously, every child wants the love and attention of both parents. You want to be the one they love the most. Okay, Nabila, the other thing I was going to ask you is, you know, when it comes to, when you're dealing with children, when it comes to counseling, and Gavin, you can add in on this as well, how many teens have you dealt with that actually told you, I don't want to go home because I hate so-and-so, my brother or my sister or this? Have they actually told you that the person that is actually bullying me is not a friend or someone at school, it's actually my sibling? Do they say that? Because it's taboo to go and say that. Well,
yeah, no, it happens, right? You do find situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there was one extreme case where one of the siblings had bipolar disorder.
Uh-huh.
And the son came in the one day. He just needed to get away, because he just couldn't cope with having someone like that in the family. So it creates a lot of other problems, you know, these other difficulties. But there is also the normal sibling rivalry that can create the situation, even though it might not be that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, the parents play a role. And I hear very motherly comments from one of the ladies now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so refreshing, because you know, it's important that parents realize the major role they play in acknowledging and you know, making every child feel special.
Most definitely.
You know, and avoiding the labels, you know, this is our smart child and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
And this one isn't so good at sports, and, you know, try and recognize what the strength that each child has, and also spending some alone time, you know,
yes,
with each particular child. So that you acknowledging them all the time and how important they are to you.
And Kevin, is, you know, we're talking about motherly role, and that's obviously so important in a child's life, but we mustn't also forget the fatherly role in homes where the mum is late, or, you know, maybe the parents are divorced. You know, so there's times when the children would spend time with the father or the mother, or for some reason maybe they're staying only with the father. So again, you know, with the pressures of work, maybe the father's not at home all the time, but the role that he plays in his children's lives is also very important. Sometimes you'll hear brothers say, you know, she's daddy's princess, she can do absolutely nothing wrong. And then again you get girls say, you know, he's mommy's blue-eyed boy, he can get away with anything because she just loves him more.
Yeah, no, the parents, the fathers play a big role. You know, there was one of, not directly related to this, but there's this paid reading thing with, that we had to each do a project while we were studying, where the parent has to sit with the child every day, and it helps to build confidence because there's no criticizing during that time. And we found that when parents sit with those children, the confidence just grew much faster than if the mother sat. Even though the mother's the one that does all the running around and everything for the child, that little bit of input that the father's put made a major difference. And the good thing is that, as you know, with the modern fathers, they're becoming more involved in their children's upbringing.
Yes.
You know, compared to the traditional roles where they just were the provider.
Yes.
There's a lot of changes happening now that's very, very positive. And you see it with the children. And you see these families all over the show where mom and dad are both involved.
Both actively involved. I think Nabila wants to add on to that.
Okay, so when it comes to teenagers, Vivesha, you asked me about what am I seeing with teenagers. So at the end of the day, it is common for siblings to swing back and forth between adoring and detesting one another. That's normal.
Mm.
But I think what's important as parents is we need to make sure that, yes, there is the healthy sibling rivalry which exists, but also that sort of comfort where siblings give each other that sort of comfort. Because at the moment, what we're seeing with teenagers is suicide is on the increase with teenagers. And if they feel that sort of comfort where they know they can go home and speak to their sibling, they can confide in their sibling with whatever's going on, it sort of provides some sort of comfort for them where they feel like, okay, we can go, we know we're going to fight about things, it's normal for us to, but we can go home and confide in each other and talk to each other. Because what these suicides, what I'm seeing is these siblings are carrying the guilt. They're saying that my brother did this or my sister did this, and I feel like I'm to blame for it. I could have done something about it. So it's important for parents to nurture the relationship between siblings, to say, yes, it's okay for you to fight, but at the same time, be there for each other when you need to.
And overcome that all those challenges.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be continuing after the break. Please do call us on 011-854-1548. Share your views with us. If you've been a sibling that's been bullied, if you are the bully, what's your relationship with your sibling like right now? We look forward to listening from you. So inshallah, we will continue after the break. Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You're back on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International and Samogat on Sirius FM 105.7. This morning, we're talking about sibling rivalry with my guest, educational psychologist, Mr. Gavin Frank, senior counselor at Islamic Helpline, Sariana Adam, and youth counselor at Islamic Helpline, Nabila Mahdi. Before the break, we covered a lot of different causes of sibling rivalry, and now unfortunately we're going to have to go to, I can't say the root cause, but let's say the people who can make sibling rivalry not reach that point where siblings do not even talk when they are adults. The referees who unfortunately need to become more assertive and nip it in the bud. So we're going to be talking about the role that parents play in dealing with sibling rivalry, as well as grandparents and even extended family members. Please do call us on 011-854-1548. We look forward to hearing from you. The other thing I just would like to just touch on, you know, Gavin, Rehana and Nabila, when children are young, and like we say, it's common for them to have these petty arguments, and sometimes they can be a little bit jealous, and you know, after all, it's my brother, it's my sister, I forgive, I move on. But when this pettiness and this aggression moves to another level where you, everything that the one sibling does, you criticize, and there's constant fighting, and even in the adolescent years, nothing's done about it, you know, parents may assume they'll grow out of it, and then it goes on into adulthood, and then they're comparing marriages, they're comparing careers, they're comparing children, they're comparing success in life as to whatever measure they're using. It continues, even their children don't get along, and that happens, and yet, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, in Islam it's emphasized that, you know, keep family ties. Nice. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. If we have disputes and disagreements, everybody should do whatever it takes to get involved and resolve this problem, so to create muhabbat within families.
Yes, absolutely, Bibi Aisha. One of the, as we all know, one of the things Allah will not forgive is when you break family ties.
Yes.
And Allah even says that even if you feel you the person that's been wrong, be the first person to ask for forgiveness and sort of, you know, bring about that love and muhabba between family members.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all begins quite early in childhood, where parents in the home need to set boundaries, need to teach young siblings what is right, what is wrong. For example, not to deal with any issue using violence.
Mm.
If you stop our little boys from hurting their little sisters, or the little sisters from hurting their brothers, stop the violence from a very young age and say there are ways to resolve issues, and teach them coping skills and problem solving skills. So we don't resort to violence and pulling hair and pinching, etc., etc. And let's sit down and talk about it and see who's wrong before we jump to conclusions. Sometimes you would find maybe that you would reprimand the child who you see maybe being physically violent with the other child, but you don't know how long the taunting and the teasing has come from the other child for this child to react in that way. Eventually got fed up and decided, I need to do something about it now.
And the one that's crying is not always the victim.
Exactly.
Like you say.
Exactly. So it's difficult. Yes, it's very difficult. Parents don't know how to sort of resolve the issues, but the thing to do is to set them both down, separate them, keep them, let them separate for a while, be calm, and then sit around and say, okay, give each child a turn to say why has it come to the stage, and then see how you can resolve the issue.
And also, you know, I would think, you know, when, like we said, we spoke earlier, that some children are gifted or they're very, you know, performing very well in a particular area, maybe inculcate in their family that a win for one or a success for one is a success for all of us. And we are all very special. Nabila, your thoughts on that?
I think what Rihanna was saying is that we should not suppress our emotions.
Yes.
What we do is we sort of say, okay, you're angry, stop being angry. Stop being jealous, stop being sad. What we need to do is, as a family, we need to speak about our emotions. We need to talk about our feelings. If we can do this, we teach children in their own way to manage their emotions. But if us as adults, we keep suppressing our anger and our jealousy, we teach them that we should hide them under the carpet and not deal with them.
So
in a nutshell, that's what we need to do. We need to talk about our emotions and learn to deal with them.
Given also, you know, sometimes when, you know, when the parents come running, I mean, you know, in all fairness, parents are tired. They're working, they have responsibilities. I mean, even if it's a stay-at-home mom, she's got a lot of work to do, she has a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes you could see this one child is constantly in their games, constantly saying, this one hit me, this one did this. You know, you always, always that victim mentality as well. But then also, sometimes when children say, but he's doing this to me all the time, or she's doing this to me all the time, and maybe the parents are just getting frustrated and they're turning a deaf ear. How dangerous is that?
Yeah, you're quite right. Parents are under a lot of pressure, you know, especially mothers. Now, it is dangerous. That's why, you know, Nabila mentioned the importance of communication. They have to be encouraged to express themselves. And, you know, the whole idea of family meetings where everyone gets a chance to talk and they express exactly what's going on. But I just want to add one thing, man. In this day and age, we have, okay, there's thousands of books written on parenting, but there's no clear solution for every child, because each child is different, each family is different, the influences that act on families are different, and for me, the scariest thing is this whole information age, the technology, because while it is really fantastic what technology has brought to us, and the access to information, and for our children, you know, the ability, the way it can assist them in their learning, but coupled with that is that once you give a child that cell phone, not, he has access to all that great information, but also it opens up access to everything else that may not fit in with the family values. They may meet people on those chat lines that, and I mean, these days there's a lot of parents that are working that don't spend a lot of time with their children, and so the big influences is the technology and their friends. So we need to just bear that in mind, that it's not simply a thing of the parents, you know, may not be doing it correctly, but there are other factors that are affecting our children, that influence them.
Mm-hmm. And especially when these teenagers, you know, again, now they're not focusing so much on what their parents think of them. They want to more fit in with their friends, and then again, exchanging this information from social media, they think they're going to come and implement their own attitude or their own rules, so to speak. So it's also that period of rebellion.
Yeah, no, definitely. And sometimes parents are at the mercy of their children.
True. Yeah. Very true. Very true. And your thoughts about sibling rivalry that's not nipped in the bud and it, you know, extends to adulthood.
Yeah, no, but like Rihanna was saying, you know, you start from an early age and you install those values and the boundaries. Children need to know very clearly what's expected behavior and not. And you just, it's about reinforcing it all the time and allowing children, you know, watching the situation, being fair to them, giving them a chance to explain when these, you know, these situations crop up. And being fair in the end, acknowledging, you know, so that you're not just reacting out of frustration or stress or anger.
Yes.
But you really get into the heart of the problem. Look, it's not easy.
Yes,
being
of course.
Being a parent is difficult in this day and age, but you just have to be at it all the time. And it helps when both parents speak with the same voice.
Yes. Yes, they must show a united front, otherwise your child's going to play on your emotions. I think Rihanna wants to add on.
Sure.
Okay, I've got something that could help parents that are in this situation. You need to get a picture paper and put on some emojis.
Mm.
And the one emoji will say glad.
Mm.
And the other three would say bad, mad, sad.
Mm.
And each one will be a face, you know, depicting that. Now you got to write the words underneath each one, and then when this conflict, even, you know, just ask each child, where are you at?
Mm.
So the child must point out, are they mad, bad, glad, or sad?
Mm.
And if they're not glad, how do we get them to glad?
Mm.
So now you're also asking the child to give their opinion as to why they are not glad. You're listening to the child, and you are helping to resolve the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal place for everyone to be is in glad, but as we know, you know,
it's not always going to happen.
We'll all be insane if we're glad all the time. So we need to get to a place where we can be glad. So what can mommy do? What can daddy do to help you to get to glad?
Mm.
What can your brother or sister do or not do to help you to get there? And so you are roping everyone in to help solve the problem. And children love emojis.
Yes,
they will identify. Yes. They'll get happy to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important. And also, you are, it's like family time.
Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, there's a conflict, but let's help resolve it and rope every family member into it. So I think that would be one way to
help younger children.
A fun way.
Yes, with older children as well. You know, we're talking about the emotions. Okay, I need to ask the panel, what are your thoughts when it comes to grandparents, and if how are they going to make sibling rivalry, how are they going to fuel it? Because, you know, no matter what we say, grandparents have their favorites. We human beings, you have your favorite. And sometimes they could, you know, compare this one to that one. And what are your thoughts about it? I mean, the grandparents don't do that. They don't do that intentionally. Sometimes, you know, you may hug this one more, or, oh my, this one, he did this, or she did this. It can happen. And it can happen with uncles and aunts as well. Again, like I said, it's not always intentional. Then what happens? Who would like to tackle that one? Rihanna, since seeing you are the granny, but you have one grandchild right now, so I know that all the focus is going to be on her. But let's talk more about when you're dealing with the children that come to the Islamic Helpline. Gavin, you can add on as well.
Yeah, not sure.
Okay. Yes, parenting is a very special time in your life. And you do tend to spoil the kids because you don't have to discipline as such.
You cause the damage.
Yeah.
And you walk away.
And then you say, okay, now you resolve it. You're the parent. I'm not the parent.
Yes.
But yes, it's a wonderful time. But also, you've got to be aware as a grandparent how you're coming across to your grandkids. Yes, the first one is always very special because that's what made you a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to try and not show it so openly to the others. So every child has a special place in your heart. And you got to reinforce what you see as special in each child to the children. And so maybe, inshallah, in that way. I don't have a second grandchild, so it's very easy for me to talk.
from a counseling point of view.
But what I see from a counseling point of view, yes. Very often, especially in blended families, where you find that, you know, children come from, maybe from divorce situations and things like that. That way, grandparents, it's even more, have to be more cautious as to how they're coming across to the children. Because there I find a lot of problem with blended families. Especially.
With accepting the children from the new partner.
Or even if a grandparent is living in the same home. So maybe a daddy or a nanny is living in the home, and that's where also there can be trouble, because sometimes when the mother or the father is trying to discipline, the little one runs
to
the grandparent, and the grandparent says, "Ajun Naluche, leave the child."
It's true, it's true. Kevin, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, it does happen quite often. And it's important for parents to actually deal with the situation and confront it. You know what I mean? It's important that you explain to your parents, you know, the difficulty that they're placing the child in and you in a nice way. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be confrontational, but let them understand that you understand how much they love them and how much they love their grandchildren. But point out, you know, the difficulties if they don't, if they're not fair to them all. But you have to confront the situation.
Because then again, siblings are going to fight also and say, you know, grandfather likes you more, or grandmother likes me. Grandmother likes her more. And again, they're going to have this unnecessary fights and this envy amongst them. Okay, what advice would you like to give to parents? If there's one thing that you would like to say out to our listeners that are going through this, maybe with their adolescent children, or you know, whether it's young children, whether it's adult children that are feuding all the time, what would you like to say to them, Gavin?
No, well, the one thing is to remain friends with your children. Because often parents, it's that them and us that goes on, especially with the teenagers. And you achieve very little that way. But when you're friends with your child, you can get them to do so much more. And they must be allowed to express what they feel. You know, they shouldn't hold back their feelings. And I mean, many times, you know, we come home and the child comes home from school and we ask them, how was your day and so forth. But just check in on their feelings. How are you feeling today? You know? And it just changes the whole conversation. And the child knows, okay, my parent cares, you know, but that's one of the things, communication.
Very important.
Yeah.
Very important. Nabila?
Okay, so I think we've been focusing on the negative a lot. So there's a positive side to everything. So when it comes to sibling rivalry and what we actually learn from fighting. So within our homes, when there is that healthy sibling rivalry, it teaches children how to negotiate and to compromise out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches them how to deal with power struggles in the real world and, of course, to manage conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So with every negative, there's also a positive.
Also a positive, most definitely. Rehana?
Very important skills.
Yes.
Those are skills that we need to nurture.
To survive in life.
Yes, and as she explained, healthy conflict, you know.
Yes.
How to resolve conflict in a healthy way, in a way that is positive and not negative.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we as parents just need to check on ourselves whenever there's a situation is don't put any of your children on a guilt trip. You always like this and you always... When you start a sentence, you always... Already you must check yourself. Because then you are already labeling the child and making the child feel that, you know, that is... They will take ownership of that and feel that's what they are. Don't compare.
Yes.
Don't ever compare your children, because that's when you are starting a very big problem for the child and the child's self-esteem. Whenever possible, allow siblings... to resolve the matter on their own. So let them resolve the matter. Then the question is, when does teasing turn from healthy to unhealthy? The time when you need to find that fine line when the teasing goes overboard into bullying. So that kind of thing. But that would be my what I would like to say is sibling rivalry, yes, like Rambira pointed out, can be positive, where you can develop the child's skills, problem-solving skills.
I think also very important would be, you know, constantly reminding all your children how much you love them, how each one of them is special in their own way. And again, like I said, a win for one is a win for all. You know, sometimes we have We may have differences with friends. We want to resolve it. We want to move forward in an amicable way. Sometimes maybe you feel like, you know, I cannot handle this friendship anymore and you part ways. But you cannot part ways with your siblings. You cannot leave your siblings. Allah has put you together. Allah has chosen so-and-so to be your brother and to be your sister. And at the end of the day also, that is your comfort. That is your comfort base. That is your solace, your home. When the parents are late, it's your brothers and sisters that you need to depend on. You know, the brothers being the mahrams for the sisters being like this guardian sort of for the brothers, and also, you know, towards your nephews and nieces. You know, the when the parents are not there, or if they've gone for hajj or going out or whatever, you are their parent in absentia to your nephews and nieces. And if your relationship is strained with your sibling, how are you going to have that relationship with the nephews and nieces? And also for the nephews and nieces, if you constantly see your uncle and your aunt or your parents fighting among themselves, nothing stops you from saying, listen, I love you, you're my parent, but I love you also, you're my uncle and auntie, and I want a life with you. And bring them together. I mean, if it means put them in a room and lock them up and tell them, I'm not letting you out until you guys have made mouth. Because at the end of the day, the family unit is the strongest unit in our lives. Yes. And we want Allah's mercy, blessings and rahmah in our lives. We want barakat. And again, if you are feuding all the time, you know, as adults, your children are watching you. You are teaching them how to behave. So Gavin, what are your thoughts on what I just said?
Yeah, well, you've summed it up very well. You know what I mean? And but I mean, such a broad issue.
Yes.
We can talk the whole day about
most
it. There's so many
definitely
issues. But it's really been good being on a panel.
Yes.
Because you get all, you know, there's a lot of things that you miss and other people bring it up, and it's been really good listening to the two ladies, Rihanna and Nabila.
They're dealing with it.
It's been a learning experience for me as well.
Yes, they're dealing with it all the time, and so are you. Can I share your contact details with our listeners?
Yeah, okay, my landline is 011-854-1919. Mm-hmm. And the cell number is 084-614-1100.
Thank you so much, Gavin Frank. Ladies, if you can please share your contact details of Islamic Helpline in Lanesia.
All right, yeah, Islamic Helpline, the landline number that's our main number is 011-852-1930.
Okay, that's 011-852-1930.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much to all my guests. May the Almighty reward you in abundance for the great work that you guys are doing in empowering all the people that you work with. And Gavin, I look forward to chatting to you again soon. The ladies from Islamic Helpline, thank you for always making yourself available. May Allah reward you in abundance. To our beloved listeners, yes, it is school holidays. Parents, I promise you, it is an ideal time to bond with your children. I know maybe you'll be tired, but just think of it. This 1 week with them, you can make such a difference. Make memories. Do special things together, because, you know, this time is something you will never get back. To the listeners, to the teenagers, to the younger children, enjoy your holidays, be good, be safe, read your salah, and try and help out at home. You know, show your parents that you love them so much. You know, we always want our parents to remind us of how much they love us. What stops you from going and telling mommy and daddy how much you love them? So inshallah, I look forward to chatting to you again next week. On behalf of myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my sound engineer, Hafiz Hanzala Hafiji, we wish you a good week ahead, and please remember us in your du'as. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.